Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We are surrounded by God's love and we come to celebrate and praise the one who loved us first. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we're pleased that you're here. And those of us who are here on a regular basis want to seek you out, shake your hand, speak words of welcome, and make you feel right at home. Now, if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we do want to know you and we would love for you to make a home here with us. One way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find out lots of those opportunities by looking at your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up a few things in the announcements. First of all, thank you for your generosity during the mission market last week. We raised $1,340 that will be added to our Habitat for Humanity fund. And speaking of Habitat, if you've not signed up for one of the work days, you can do that immediately following this service at the other side of Reed Hall. We especially need folks to help with the interior work, okay? Just If you're interested, you can sign up today. Speaking of signing up, we are putting together a new pictorial directory for the church. And if you've not had your picture made, our next sessions will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. You can either sign up on the board. If you go out and take a left in Reed Hall, you'll see a large board where you can sign up for an appointment, or you can sign up online. Now, it's always helpful, and especially in a church this size, for everyone to get their photograph made, because it not only helps newcomers, it helps the rest of us as well. So let me encourage you to sign up for that. Now, next Sunday, August 10th, will be our Mission Trips celebration. It'll be during the Sunday School Hour in McWhorter Hall, and we'll gather to celebrate the missions that our youth and adults have been on this year, to Chicago, to Guatemala, and even local missions here in Nashville. And we can celebrate the work that God has done in and through these individuals who have been sharing in God's name and on our behalf in the community. So next Sunday, Sunday School Hour, McWhorter Hall. You ever feel just weary and weighted down? Well, there's good news. There is someone who loves you more than you can imagine who is here to share the burden, not just today, but always.
May Christians all with one Hallelujah.
Welcome. We gather this day as a community worshiping our living God.
We gather carrying heavy burdens, and many are weary from the journey.
Open your hearts and receive God's grace and nourishment.
We will be fed at God's table, our souls will find rest, and we will trust in God's grace.
Please join me now for our Collect of Purity. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near in faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and beware of our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdeeds. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life. To the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. We worship thee, we glorify thee.
Let us pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
How many of you have ever plowed with mules? I see a couple of hands going up. Draft horses, oxen. Well, for those of you who you didn't know there's going to be a pop quiz, did you? For those of you who haven't, let me explain a little bit about harnessing mules. Because you see, if you're plowing with one mule, you have what's called a single tree, and it's a bar that goes across behind the mule that helps distribute the weight that the mule is pulling. But if you are plowing with two mules, you have to have a double tree, which is a bar that connects the two single trees in order that the weight is distributed between the two mules. Okay? I hope you're taking notes. This will be on the test. Having grown up plowing with mules, I knew how important it was, especially if you had two, to have that double tree there so that weight could be distributed. And sometimes one would pull more weight than the other. You guide mules, you may not know this either, you guide mules not with a rein, you guide them with your voice. If you want them to go right, you say G. If you want them to go left, you say haw. Except it really isn't G and haw. It's more like a series of grunts. It's like yee, haw. And they go right and they go left. And as a boy, when I was trying to learn how to do this, here I would go up the road, G, haw, G, haw, G, haw. I always told my Uncle Dude, who I was working with, you could plant more in a crooked row than you could in a straight one. He never saw the wisdom of it, however. Now, you can't say that you've left church without learning something new today, right? Jesus, however, is not talking about this kind of harness, but the principle is very similar. He's talking about a yoke. And there are single yokes, and there are double yokes. And the yokes perform much of the same function for an oxen or a draft horse that the single tree and the double tree do for mules in order to distribute that weight. So if you're plowing with two oxen, one does not get overworked and they can share the load. It's interesting, we don't realize what a radical departure Jesus is making from the Hebrew Bible and its use of the image of yoke. Because I at least, in my looking over the references, I did not find a single positive reference to yoke in the entire Hebrew Bible. No, it's the yoke of oppression. It's the yoke of the Egyptians. It's the yoke of the Babylonians. And the yoke is something that is imposed upon you, and you are the beast of burden, and the Egyptians or the Babylonians or whoever are plowing with you, guiding you with their voice, with their instructions. Jesus picks that up, however, and reframes it. He says, take my yoke on you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. For I am gentle and humble of heart. If you see Christians on television and on the internet, do you think we'd be characterized as being gentle and humble of heart, like the person we claim to follow? I doubt it very seriously, quite honestly. Maybe we need to take on that yoke of gentleness and humility once again, so that we can not simply follow the teachings of Jesus, but following the way he lived, recreate our own lives in that image. Because you see, even though some of the early rabbis had begun to use the term yoke as a kind of symbol for teaching, you take on my teaching, and Jesus even refers to this in the text, it's more than teaching he's talking about. It is a life lived out of God's love that we have experienced, being led by the voice of the one who has gone before us. And so in using this image of yoke, Jesus is inviting certain people to come and follow him and take on this new life. Now, who does he invite? The weary, the burdened. King James says heavy laden, someone carrying a weight almost too great to bear. Now, this too is counterintuitive. You don't plow with tired mules, okay? You get fresh animals. But that's not who Jesus is inviting. He's inviting those of us who are weary, those of us who feel overburdened in whatever way. And what does he promise if you take on this yoke? Rest. Now, some folks interpret this as saying, well, you just follow Jesus, everything after that is going to work out just great for you. You'll never have any problems. That's not what he's saying. At least I don't think it is. That's not the way it's worked in my life, nor the lives of people that I've known. But I do think there are a couple of ways of interpreting this image and what Jesus is trying to do with it. Now, he's inviting people to take this yoke on, having already told them, okay, you heard it in the earlier passage, that there's nothing you can do that people will think is right. You can't win. John came fasting and not drinking. They said he had a demon. Jesus came eating and drinking. They said he was a glutton and a drunkard. You're not going to win if you follow Jesus in the opinions of other people. But those opinions don't count ultimately once you take on this yoke. I'm going to suggest two ways that Jesus might be using this image. I think they're both equally valid. Maybe one applies more in certain situations and the other in other situations. But first of all, it seems to me that Jesus is saying you're not in this alone. You may feel heavy burdened, but if you have someone else to share the burden, it's not quite as heavy. That's why we're here for each other. If I help share your burden, it's not quite as heavy. If you help share my weariness, I'm not quite as weary. That's why God created this crazy conglomeration of people we call church, so we could be there for each other in our weariness, our overburdenedness. And in this image, Jesus would be the one calling out the directions. the person behind the plow shouting the G's and the haws. I should tell you, for full disclosure, that mules don't always follow those verbal directions, okay? Nor do we. But if you want to be productive, then you've got to have mules that will follow those directions. And quite frankly, if we want to be faithful, we have to have us to follow those directions as well. So that's one image, that we are in the yoke with each other. And in sharing that burden, it makes it a little easier for all of us. The other image, it seems to me, would be that we are on one side of the yoke, and when we look over to the other side, it's Jesus in the other side. It's someone who has been through it, who has been there and done that, who has experienced the weariness and the pain and the burdensomeness of life, and has come through that with a witness of new life. You know, it's always easier to work with someone who knows what they're doing. If you sign up for Habitat, for example, if I signed up for Habitat and you put me in there to do pretty much anything on a house, I would probably wreck it, unless I was matched with someone who knew what they were doing. And then I might be actually a little bit helpful. When we invite people to serve communion, a number of those people have not served before, and when that's the case, we try to match them with someone who has served. Because it's always easier when you're yoked with someone who's already been there, who's already done that, who's been through it, who knows the drill. And so in this second image, it seems to me that we and Christ are yoked together. And it's God who's calling the directions. Jesus already knows the directions. You know, it's easier to stay in the row if you are with a mule who already knows that field. Jesus knows this field that we're in, and the weariness that comes from it, the overburdenedness that we experience. Sometimes that burden is because we've said things that now we can't take back. Or we've done things we wish we could just erase from our personal history. Or people have said or done things to us that we haven't been able to set aside, to put aside, and they still burden us. Whatever that burden is, one reason we invite everyone to this table is that the host at this table, not me, Jesus, is the one inviting those who are weary and burdened and need rest to come and receive nourishment, and to come and receive rest, and then go forth into the world to live that life that we have learned through Jesus. Not just the teachings, the life. And so as we invite you today, in just a few minutes, to come to this table, everyone here will be invited. I want you to come no matter what kind of weariness you may be experiencing, no matter what kind of burden you may be carrying. I may not know that. No one else here may know that. But God knows it, is willing to help carry that. Come for this nourishment. Come for this companionship. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because I am gentle and humble of heart. My prayer is that when we respond to that invitation, we too will go away as those gentle and humble of heart. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in a lot of ways, mostly by what we do and how we act. But a reminder of how we're supposed to act and who we're supposed to be comes when we reaffirm our faith in creeds and affirmations. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 881 in your hymnal. And we'll join together in one of the most ancient affirmations of faith that we've inherited from the church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning. We welcome you and are grateful to everyone who's come to worship with us this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we'd invite you to join us in Reed Hall through the doors to your left, where you can stop by the Bread for the Journey table and receive a small loaf of bread and also more information about ways that you can be involved in our various ministries here at West End. I want you to take notice of a gray card that's in the pew rack right in front of you. On one side, you can put prayer requests that you have. We'll lift you up in prayer during the week. On the other side, you can put comments for staff and lay leadership, and we'll address those needs. Also, if you haven't signed the attendance pad, they're in the rows. On each row, you can sign your name and note who you're worshiping with and welcome each person here. We rejoice with the Elrod family this morning. Atticus, Canon Elrod, and Theodore Arthur Elrod, twin boys, were born on July 11th to Jeremy and Rachel Ann Elrod. We're also rejoicing with the Banker family. John Barringer Banker was born on July the 24th to Leah and P.G. Banker. He is welcomed also by his grandparents, Jean Ann and Barry Banker. Our deepest sympathies are extended to Caitlin Angelette. She is mourning the death of her grandmother, Lottie Jane Wallace of Jasper, Alabama. She died Sunday, July the 27th, and services were held in Jasper on the 30th. God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord. It is very meet and right in our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, almighty everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy holy name, evermore praising thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by this one offering of himself, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we are unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer thee any sacrifices, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The body of Christ, broken for you and for the world. The blood of Christ, poured out for you and for the world. Let us continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy.
Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
I invite you to join with me in that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We ask that you come by way of the center aisle. After you have knelt at the chancel rail, when you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll be served the bread first and then the cup. After you've received the elements, you're invited to remain for a time of prayer if you choose. And then when you return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your seat for any reason, either catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. We take an offering at each communion service, and today that offering goes to support our 11th habitat build. We are combining our efforts with other United Methodist churches throughout the Nashville area in this particular build. Our hope is to raise $30,000 to contribute to this effort. We've raised just under $20,000 so far. If you'd like to read more about the family that we'll be helping to build the house for, you can find that on one of your bulletin inserts. But if you would like to contribute to that cause, there are two offering plates right by the front pew, and you're welcome to leave your offering there as you come. You who are weary and overburdened, this is for you, the children of God. Please rise. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies. Thy goodness has created us, thy bounty has sustained us, thy discipline has chastened us. Thy patience has borne with us. Thy love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve thee, and enable us to show our thankfulness for all thy goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to thy service and cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will. Through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Now I send you forth yoked with the Lord of the dance, whose yoke is easy, whose burden is light. Go to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, and God, whose love surrounds us like the air we breathe, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to live God's love And the Holy Spirit that empowers us to follow Jesus' example be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.